Poster Boy, written by N.J. Kroski and read by Kat Rose Martin and Lucy Brownhill.
Part 1. Rosa. 1. When I was a child, I used to count my footsteps. Whenever the journey seemed overwhelming or the surroundings intimidating, I would keep the drumbeat of numbers pounding in my head. The walk home from school was broken down into small numerical accomplishments. 1, 2, 3. I watched my shiny black shoes patter on the cracked paving stones, ignoring the uniformed hordes around me. 4, 5, 6. I listened to the predictable, ordered pattern in my head, not the chaos of laughter and gossip. 10 steps and I passed the boys spitting and swearing on the corner, shouting the numbers in my mind, drowning them out. 20 and I reached the postbox. It's funny how these childhood mantras come to mind right before you die. Now I need to make these adult feet move. Just a few more steps. I need to take this one last journey through the heaving crowd. I inhale deeply and try to focus. Human life simmers beneath the August sun, its aromas teased out. The scent of fresh sweat in the air is almost sweet. I fix my gaze on the wooden stage ahead. About 50 steps, surely. No more than from the battered wheelie bin at the end of my road to number 37's broken gate. Maybe less. My stride was shorter then. If I count loudly in my mind, I can block out the crowd. If I watch my brown boots on the gravel path, I can ignore their faces. I don't want to see their faces. The policeman on my right touches my shoulder. Miss Lincoln, are you okay to do this? I nod, but I realize I'm trembling. You'll be fine, he says. You'll do him proud. I chance a glimpse of his face. His graying brows are furrowed with concern. He's about 40, maybe more. Strong jaw, bright eyes. He looks like one of those self-assured types. I wonder if he holds anyone's hand. If there's a little girl who will have to count her footsteps when her guardian is gone. My eyes dart away, back to the ground. I shouldn't have looked. Shouldn't have put a face, a life, to the man beside me. Because now I worry what they'll think of him. I feel sorry for his family, for what they'll have to deal with. He'll be vilified, shredded. He had his hand upon me, saw my own hand shaking. Christ, he can probably hear my heart racing, it's loud enough. But he didn't realize. Incompetent, they'll say. Maybe he volunteers at the local shelter on his days off. Maybe he's saved hundreds of lives in his career. It won't matter. All he'll be remembered for is today's fuck-up. Perhaps he'll even come out of this with a posthumous reputation worse than mine. I'm unstable, after all. Understandable, they'll say, after all I've been through. With the 2020 clarity of hindsight, they'll all be aghast at the catalogue of oversights that led to this. To me, being escorted to my final destination by the very authorities that ought to have stopped me. All these people, gathered to pay their respects, were frisked before they entered Hyde Park. Waiting in line like cattle for the pleasure of the indignity, then herded into their positions. The officers stride among them with suspicious eyes, evaluating, profiling. But me? I'm being taken care of, protected from the rabble. They should have considered this a possibility, troubled as I must be. He probably thinks I'm scared I'll be attacked again. There's no reason to suspect anything untoward. Who wouldn't be a little flustered? Just at the prospect of standing up in front of all these people, let alone everything else. It'd be more suspicious if I were calm and confident. Having strange male hands on my body is the very last thing that ought to happen to a young woman who has endured what I have.